Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He do late, too, when it comes to recruiting, knowing what he can do. I think you still got to feel pretty good because, again, the biggest question that's faced this program for the last couple of years has been answered in the form of Kendrick Davis. So you got to feel pretty
correct.
You got to feel pretty good. And then, of course, you're just – you're wondering if this IARP thing's ever going to come down. The longer there is no news, I feel like is good news for Memphis in the sense that that hearing is late enough and close enough to the season. Perhaps you can get that, you know, whatever is coming down in terms of whatever they hand down in terms of punishment can be kicked out past next year, past Kendrick Davis.
Correct.
And see what I'm, that's where I'm at.
I think it's pretty good. I think Memphis basketball's roster is pretty damn good. I mean, you're talking about the AAC Player of the Year. You're talking about Lesh Quinones, who was, you know,
I like it a lot better if it's Caleb Murphy.
Oh yeah, I agree.
I'm considering him in right now just because it doesn't feel like there's been any change there.
Yeah, we'll see.
But it's certainly not a done deal. Because if there's a hole there,
there is.
If he's not,
I agree.
I guess you could move Lester over
and then play who at the three?
Elijah, but you want him in role. That's
right.
Clearly
he's,
what
you know. You
what
want
he's
him
been chosen
off the bench,
for,
yeah.
Right? But you could make some moves,
you
just
could.
Not as strong.
Yeah.
I like it better,
then,
clearly.
Then, you know, your first one off the bench is Jonathan Lawson, I guess. I mean, is he?
He's clearly going to get an opportunity.
Oh, and he should. I think he deserves an opportunity.
I mean, and don't forget, I mean, he's going to play Jaden.
Right.
Especially since you're talking about, you know,
yeah, I mean, it looks like a tournament team right now. You know, maybe Kenneth Lofton is the five.
Let's see how that five plays out.
Maybe if it's Kenneth Lofton,
I like DeAndre Lester, Kendrick Davis. That has the makings of a tournament team. Yes.
Yeah. Everybody thought Kenneth Lofton was going to be going to Houston. Memphis certainly is in there. I mean, if they can get Kenneth Lofton, Kendrick Davis, DeAndre Williams, Lesh Quinones, get that two guard, that's a hell of a starting five, bro. Like that is a hell of a starting five. And I think even right now,
I would suspect that by the end of it, we're going from, yeah, I feel pretty good, to holy cow, look at what he's got.
That is typically the way it goes.
Because that's what Penny Hardaway does.
That's typically the way it goes around here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
By the time you look up and it's, you know, September,
he's
like,
made the headlines
he's
again.
He's done it again.
You know, how far are they going to go? Where is this team going to be ranked?
Right.
You know, it's going to be more
But
of
I
that.
Would even say, like, if it stopped here, right, and you just kind of added, like, some dudes, you're still a tournament team before the season starts. You're still going to be a projected tournament team with Kendrick Davis, DeAndre Williams, and Lester. With that core, you're still going to be that, right? So
I like Lester going and getting the workouts and everything else. I think that helps you.
Get the experience.
All of it, yes.
DeAndre is getting interest from Boston, Utah, I think in Detroit. So we'll see if
he shows well. I want him back healthy. I want that back feeling good.
You see, Minot's doing what we thought he would do in terms of the, combine and the workouts and stuff. He's – you know, catching some eyes. You know,
so Minot gets to the combine, and then who's the other one?
Duren.
Duren, obviously. Yeah, so he'll be a top 10 pick.
Open to stay top 10, and should.
Yeah.
And should.
Do you guys think, where do you think Minot will land? I mean, that's impressive for him to get a combine invite.
Look, I'll put it this way. If Josh Primo can go in the lottery, then so can Josh Minot, period, point blank.
In the lottery?
He can.
I'm not saying I think he will.
I think he could go late first. Early second?
Interesting.
That seems to be, to me, the ceiling, getting into the first, breaking into the first. Lottery?
Could.
Come on, bro.
All it takes is one.
Did all of a sudden he get a three-point shot?
Who was talking about Josh Primo, though, in the lottery? Nobody.
Oh, one.
I mean, it can happen. Like, crazy things do happen. And he's going to test well. I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't bet on him going in the lottery. Maybe I would bet on it. I don't know. Like, it seems like some good value there. You know, because people get carried away with length and athleticism and potential.
you know, that never is realized a lot of times.
I'm sorry, but Minot to me is the perfect guy that you come back to school. Okay. You're going to be a big-time riser in college next year. Yeah,
he could
come back to school,
but it wasn't going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I mean, either way, no.
You did a horrible
job. Minot should have been in college, period.
Well,
whether,
yeah,
here
but you
or wherever.
Didn't do a good enough job on your end and of help. Convincing him to come back.
I would tell you that Penny did everything he could. Hell, you played him as much as you could. When guys went down, he became a featured guy.
No,
when
agree.
Guys got back, Minot was a defensive liability, so you had to pull him off the floor. Same thing as with Musa. I just don't see where it could have gone a whole hell of a lot better in terms of Penny using Minot.
Right, because this isn't
when you had a freshman out there at one point, you're depending on him when guys went down. It's what you want.
Right. This is not, Ypsilanti prep for Josh Minot, where you get to just come, you know, play 38 minutes no matter what. I mean, there are games to be won, and there are tournaments to be made.
Yeah,
you know. So
if I thought Penny made a mistake with Imani, I'll tell you. If I think he made a mistake with players,
mm-hmm.
I thought with Minot he handled it about as best as it could have gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for what he gave you and what his shortcomings were,
and he got some run in the tournament. I mean, some quality looks, right?
And frankly, he's going to end up being a pick off the 1 year here. You know, and so anyway, that went well. Imani, no. Minot, yeah, and he'll be able to claim that. Penny will.
Yeah, I mean, nobody.
You know, as a guy that you brought in. So wasn't at the head of your class.
Right.
Plays for a year here, develops. He becomes a draft pick. That'll be part of the NBA pitch that you're always selling.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So you'll get the benefit from that.
Even if
Minot's not saying.
Right. He won't claim you.
Of course he won't.
But you can claim him.
100% you can.
Because.
Along with a long list of others.
Right.
Duren, Precious, and all these guys.
You put Josh Minot in there.
I know you don't want James Wiseman mentioned, but he's in there.
Has he logged a minute league?
Well, damn, he developed under Penny, didn't he?
At East.
From East all the way to here.
He developed at East.
In off-season here.
Yeah, I guess.
You're still going, like I said, you're going to still claim him.
Yeah,
tell yours that's part of your story.
But it's thin, though.
Not to mention, Wiseman was with you.
The
that's
Memphis
one that
piece.
He played the game.
Penny, yes. I'll give you Penny for sure, which I guess is the same thing. Well, they put Minot's.
I mean, Quentin Grimes, Penny can claim damn near. He made him.
Cam McGusty and Garrison Matthews.
Those guys haven't been picked yet, but Quentin Grimes, he could definitely claim.
Well, Garrison Matthews is in the league. He's coming out. He's working out
well,
here.
Well, I was thinking McGusty.
Yeah. Do you think they'll put like a collage of Minot up at the Lori Walton? Does he get one?
I don't know. It doesn't sound like, that was on great terms. But don't they, all the guys that they've got in
Does
the league?
Tariq Black
have
one?
Tariq?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's an interesting question. Because he did play in the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, for several years.
He should have one.
He should have one. Anyway, that's the scoop right now with Memphis basketball. Just kind of going over what they need to do here. And I think a lot of it, too, Jason, is just waiting to see who's going to stay in the draft and who's coming out, right? Like, that's kind of where you are.
Isn't the big kid still involved? The big one you mentioned that's Lofton, that's still involved
still
with Houston.
Yes.
He's still involved in the NBA. The Caleb Murphy kid is,
so everybody, too. Everybody's just getting feedback right now. It's kind of a slow time right now in terms of that. So, you know, when that all shakes out. And
more
the dust
dominoes
settles,
will fall.
Absolutely. All right, we will come back. Eastern Conference Finals kick off tonight. We will get into that. Make a case, right? I'm sure Jason will make the case for Boston, and I got to ride with my Heat boys. We'll get into that and more. Jason and John.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Turn FM, ESPN.
Now, it's the Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Game 1, Eastern Conference Finals. Tonight, 7:30, ESPN. One-seeded Miami Heat versus the two-seeded Boston Celtics. Boston Celtics have been the best team in the NBA since the turn of 2022. I will tell you that I have never seen, maybe there's been one and I'm just like not, you know, thinking about it and then I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I have never seen a one seed as blatantly disrespected, as blatantly neglected as the Miami Heat have been in the NBA. Can you remember a one seed that got less respect? I went to CBSSports.com. I've been reading about this, right? I've been like, what do people think about this year? And they had like 8 experts, right? Every single expert picked the Boston Celtics.
Really?
Not one picked the Miami Heat.
That's strange.
Now, this is the one seed we're talking about here, right?
It's strange not to have one.
They closed the Hawks out in 5. Sure. They closed Philadelphia out in 6. Right. All they've done is handle business. And I get it. Boston, like we said, they have been the best team in the NBA since the turn of 2022. And they did sweep the Nets. That was impressive, like to just totally put them to sleep the way they did.
Took but, out, I mean, defending champs, too. I know they, you know, no Middleton, but still, you handle business against Giannis.
I think the defending champs has to come in air quotes, though, because with no Middleton, they're not the defending champs.
Whatever, it's still Giannis.
The fact that that series went 7 games to me.
You got a better push from them than you did from the Nets, and you're going to mention them.
No, it's sad. I mean, it's embarrassing the way that the Nets went out this season. Listen, I think this series is a complete, I'm going to borrow from our man Munns here, coin flip.
Oh, okay.
Flip a coin. And it could go either way. Because I do think both teams, they do the same things defensively. They have, you know, athletes. They have some size. They got some shooting. You know, they're you know, 1 through 8, pretty evenly matched, especially with Rob Williams. Rob Williams is active, ready to go. You know, the one thing I'm looking at for tonight is Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart has a midfoot sprain. Now, we know that Miami does not have Kyle Lowry for tonight.
Correct. So they're better off without him.
If Marcus Smart is not 100%, then I do think that opens up the door for Miami to win this game. Yeah, I mean, I think this is, unfortunately, one of those schedule losses that we talk about because Boston wins Game 7 on Sunday. They got a day, basically, and then they got to fly down to Miami, where Miami has been waiting for them.
Yeah, that's tough.
For 4 days. I think Miami wins tonight. I think Boston wins Game 2. I think this is a true zigzag series. I think you're really going to see alternating wins by both teams. And I think it's going to come down to a Game 7, and it's going to be in Miami, and Miami doesn't lose very often in Miami, as you know. And so everybody that's been picking the Celtics in this series is going to look absolutely stupid.
There's no way that everybody's stupid.
Everybody's picking the Celtics, though. Have you seen one person pick the Heat?
Not that, no. No.
I'm picking the Heat. I'm going to be that one because I do believe in them. Now, I will say, what concerns me, like the star power of Boston, like Jason Tatum has been himothy in these playoffs. And, you know, I do sort of wonder, like, Boston is pretty damn good defensively. Miami is
pretty
prone.
You can make an argument they're the best.
Yeah. And Miami can be prone to going on these droughts, right? We saw that against Philadelphia there, in Philly especially. But my counter to that would be, listen, that series with Milwaukee went 7 games, and it had no business going 7 games. Boston should have handled those dudes, and they didn't because they clowned around. They got down by double digits there in Game 3, ultimately made a big-time run, but lost at the buzzer. Game 5 was an epic collapse. You're up double digits entering the fourth, and you collapse against freaking Milwaukee. Game 6, kick their ass, championship stuff, give you that, on the road down 3-2 in a closeout game where Giannis was undefeated previously. Championship stuff. Game 7 at your place, you left no doubt. So, look, that's why I say this is a coin flip, but I think the one seed was earned. And I think we do have to give credit here to Spoelstra and the culture and the team.
But so, if it's a coin flip, then you can't disagree with me picking Boston.
No, I can't.
A team that's got six guys back from that 2020 team that lost to Miami, what was it, 4-2 in the bubble, Eastern Conference Final. And that, I mean, you talk about a team that's sort of been here and needs to break through.
Mm-hmm.
It's this Boston team with now Jason Tatum older, wiser, ready to be in that lead spot.
Yep.
That's the part for me is you've paid – this Boston team has paid its dues.
Yes.
And, again, a lot of this is hoping that Marcus Smart can be decent to good for you. John mentioned he's listed as questionable tonight. Because he's a big part of that defense. He's a big part of why you're so good defensively. Like to see him, but I still think with Jaylen Brown and Tatum, I just think this is their time.
Yes.
This is their time to break through.
Yes. It won't be tonight, and I'm going to give you a few reasons why.
You're smart on the short rest here.
Yeah, the Heat are 19-6 straight up when they have a rest edge. They are 4-0 straight up with a plus 23.8 point margin of victory when they have four or more rest days, which is what they have because they closed out Philly late last week. The Celtics, on the other hand, are 10-12 straight up when they are playing with a rest disadvantage. This is a scheduled loss. If Boston wins tonight, I will be shocked.
They win, you in trouble. They win tonight.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I really do. Like you can't let them come in here game one and steal home court. Like you just, especially coming off of only one day rest. You cannot.
You know it's going to take Jimmy a while in this series to warm up. Got to. He's like the. You got to slide some oil in him and get them joints back where it's going to take him a minute to warm up.
Yeah, I would like. I do think they're going to need Kyle Lowry to get healthy ultimately to win this series. I don't think Gabe Vincent is going to be enough. He's been fine. But it's one thing when you're playing Atlanta, which was a mess. It's one thing when you're playing Philadelphia, which also was a mess. I mean, this Boston team has some momentum. You know, the way they finished that series against Milwaukee was very impressive.
Yes, they've been tested. Miami really has not.
And Marcus Smart's going to do a really good job of taking, if he's healthy, taking Gabe Vincent out of the game. Like, that's not going to be – Gabe Vincent is not going to be enough at that spot in these playoffs. Like, I wonder, do they think about starting Oladipo and bringing Vincent off the bench? You know, because Oladipo's older, he's got more experience, especially he's a better defender, right? I really do. I think this is going to be a slugfest of a series. I think if you wanted to take the under in every game, you will probably come out ahead, just generally speaking. Because I even though the Heat were the best three-point shooting team in the NBA, and we know that Boston can get hot from there as well, like, this is just going to be, to me, a slobber knocker. Like, because both teams sort of do the same things eventually. They want to switch. They're going to throw a lot of length at you. You know, a lot of toughness. P.J. Tucker there. You know, do you start Jimmy on Tatum or do you start Tucker on Tatum if you're the Heat?
They better start Tucker on Tatum.
Interesting.
I don't think you play that card this early.
And you put Tatum, you put Jimmy on Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown's cut them up this year, too. I was looking at some of the numbers. I think Boston won the season series 2-1, but Jaylen Brown's been good against them. I wonder how much of that is because, a lot of the focus has been on shutdown Tatum.
Yep.
So I would wait until I've got to make some adjustments before I put my, my number one guy that I need so much from offensively on Jason Tatum.
Yep.
It ain't time for that yet is the way I'd approach it.
Yep. I think that's probably true. And then you can play that. You could deploy that when necessary, like in the big time
possessions.
And
it probably will be at some point.
I think every game in this series, I think is going to be -2 for either team that's at home. I just think that's the way it's going to be. I could even see if Miami wins tonight, I could see the Celtics being favored in game two, believe it or not. Like, I think this is just going to be that kind of a series.
The question to you is, do you think that this is your champion?
I do.
I can kind of tell how they're with us. Right.
I do. I do think the Eastern Conference Finals, I think those will be your champions ultimately because, look, I am just not a believer in Golden State. I know they beat the Grizzlies. They beat the Grizzlies without John Morant. If John Morant is in that series, if Steven Adams starts, it's a totally different series. I don't believe in them. I don't think they can turn it on the way that they once upon a time could. The only time they really did it, you can say game three, and then you can say the end of game six, but every other moment pretty much in that series, it was deadlocked. And maybe in some cases, it was in the Grizzlies' favor. So, I don't believe in Golden State. And then with Dallas, man, it's hard because you're basically asking me to believe in Reggie Bullock and Dorian Finney-Smith.
Yeah, I'm really only considering Golden State. I don't think that they're that ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Luka and those that I would put
them
in the
finals. I wouldn't be shocked if Dallas won the series.
I would.
You'd be shocked?
Yes.
You'd be shocked.
Are you kidding me?
They beat Phoenix.
Dallas reached the freaking finals at this point. You think they've knocked off Phoenix that we shouldn't be shocked at them making?
No,
this?
I mean, I think
I would be shocked.
Golden State should be the favorite.
You'd be knocking off a Phoenix team that's better than everybody else and then knocking off a Golden State team with championship DNA. I mean, that'd be a hell of an accomplishment.
I think both series are going seven games, though. That's my opinion. I think both. I think Dallas will not lose in Dallas.
I just think Golden State's going to handle them. They're going to vet those guys. Like, there's no way Luka's that good again.
Yes.
For an entire series. I just don't see it.
In terms of that side of it, like, I really do believe that both things are at play here. All the Warriors have had to hear the last 48, 72 hours, Luka, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, wait a minute, are we not the Golden State Warriors?
Right.
Yeah, we not Steph and Clay and Draymond? Do we not have three titles? Like, what are we talking about here? We're talking about this guy that this is, you know, first Western Conference Finals appearance.
And they're going to throw everybody at Luka. Like,
they are.
Give him so many different looks. He will be, you know, I know those, it's not, don't let anybody else beat you, let Luka, but they're going to throw him so much, it's going to be.
Yep.
Because again, it came so easy for him at Phoenix. If you're Steve Kerr, that's got to be it. Make this guy uncomfortable. He cannot be that comfortable. Otherwise, you do set them up to build confidence, maybe put themselves in a position to beat you.
Yeah.
So you got to make him uncomfortable. Throw everything at him.
No.
You know, I mean, Draymond's great at that.
No, and I mean...
making folks uncomfortable.
I mean, somebody was asking me, I was talking to my guy yesterday, who was asking, like, what do you think they're going to do with Luka defensively? Well, you don't put Draymond on under
center. No.
Because he will be off the floor immediately. Like, Luka is a master at picking up those cheap ticky-tack fouls. And Draymond is a master at committing them.
No, I put Draymond on him when Luka comes inside
right.
on switches and everything else. I don't put Draymond on him out on the perimeter where Luka loves to play.
Do you put Wiggins on him?
Hell yeah, that's who you start on him. Miss their best athlete.
Yep.
All day long.
I think you're exactly right.
That's number one.
Yep. Because he's got the link.
But believe me, you're going to get some Otto Porter in there too, who they were able to save, and hopefully
he can be decent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, it didn't matter.
I love to start with that Wiggins matchup
because
that's what it's going to be.
Look, I'll say this. Like, Mikal Bridges got cooked too. I mean,
he did, and he's a good defender.
No, Luka was cooking up everybody. That's just the way that goes sometimes. But you live with that because your job is to just make sure you're not getting burned by the Klebas, the Finney Smiths, the Reggie Bullocks, and you got to do a good job of, you know, making sure Brunson can get off too.
And you might not think this big, but I do. I don't think Phoenix respected Luka. I think in a way they almost set him off with the disrespect, the way Booker trying to put him in his place. It was some of that sort of, you know, we're going to put you rooks, we're on rook. And it was disrespectful in a way that just lit the fuse.
Was.
I don't think Golden State's going to be disrespectful in that way. It's just going to be a business-like dispatching of a, you know, I mean, you're talking about a guy that's 23 years old leading this thing. It's just going to be a dispatching of a team led by a young man.
So you got Warriors in?
I got Warriors in, I want to say five.
Wow.
I want to say five, but.
This man disrespectful.
You know what? I'm confident in this. I'm going to say Warriors in five. Dallas will get one. Warriors in five.
They don't even get two at home?
Nope. This is champs. This is where it's going to come through. The Grizzlies were a tough matchup for the Warriors. I do not believe Dallas will be. Five games.
I will say this. And we talked about it before. I do have questions about how Dallas is going to handle Golden State when they get out in the open court.
Going to wear Luka out, make them defend.
And that is what Phoenix did not do, right? That is what Phoenix was never able to do in the entire series. And so I do honestly like.
Give me what's the pick? I put mine down. I said Warriors in five. What's the pick for the West?
I'm going to go Warriors in seven and Heat in seven.
Give me Celtics in. Celtics in six. What you got?
I'm agreeing exactly with John's. I think they both go seven. I think the Heat win in seven, and I think that Golden State wins in seven.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. Aligned and refined, baby.
And that's not very often.
Hey,
but
bro, respect the ability to respect, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Because in the last series, I was with you. Actually, I thought. I went up with six games.
That was right.
If you would have been with me, you've been right. If you're with me, you were right.
Hey,
Warriors in six.
This ain't your Grizz territory anymore, Toto. This is different. This is NBA.
Oh,
now.
I just call Grizz series. I can call.
You were also right on Timberwolves, man. Though, Jason.
That's
you
what
were
we're
right
saying.
On Timberwolves.
Right, that's what I said.
Yeah.
I've been right on both Grizz series.
You nailed both.
John's saying I'm only capable of calling Grizz series.
Oh, is this
true? We're about to find out.
Oh, well.
We're about to find out just how powerful you are.
Dude, I've been on Jason Tatum and he said since before you were born,
that's
telling
true.
You how good this man was going to be.
See, the disrespect. Can you remember a one seed in the history of the NBA?
I was wrong about Phoenix, though. I will hold it. It's not like
we all were. We all were. Let's be clear.
Everybody's wrong.
I mean, that's
just,
I was telling people Friday night that
that's shocking.
I was telling people on Friday night that Phoenix was going to win the entire championship, Now I got to go back and say, I know I was talking about the Connecticut Sun and the WNBA. I wasn't talking about the Phoenix Suns, bro. Can you remember a one seed as
No, that's a great question. No. And they were actually joking about that. People have been joking about that nationally.
Yeah.
Redick was joking about that. How people just find a way to overlook the number one seed.
Right.
You know, we're, whatever the storyline is, pick it over talking about the Miami Heat and their chances as the number one seed.
And the reason why is because –
Jay Williams was talking about that the other day, last Friday with us.
And I get that. The reason is because they don't have a Ja Morant. They don't have a Steph.
I mean, I said that. Yeah, kind of boring.
They just don't. They're not a star power team. They have Jimmy Butler. But Jimmy Butler's been in the league for 15 years, you know, and he's not like a face of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're an NBA fan, obviously he's a star. But he's not like a guy that – if you pulled somebody to the side in Memphis, Tennessee, like, hey, who did Jimmy Butler play for? Bro, they probably might not even say Miami. They might say, like, Minnesota, you know? Like, it's just not – he's not, you know, a household name. Yeah, like, he's just not a household name the way he used to be. But, you know, I've been riding these dudes all year long. I'm not going to get off the train now.
You can go right ahead.
I love the Celtics. I think it's going to be one hell of a series. I think both series are going to be really good. I think we got I would have preferred the Grizzlies to be in the Western Conference Finals, but I do think we ended up with two great conference final series.
Jimmy going to be bent over tired again like he was in the bubble.
Yeah, you totally disregard his finals experience. Is that because it was in the bubble?
He beat Boston 4-2 in the conference finals.
And he did take two off
but
L.A.
This is a different Jason Tatum that's not going to be blocked at the rim.
Yeah.
I think Jimmy's due.
I think Jimmy's motivated.
I do too.
I do.
I'd say Jimmy's due. I buy that. You could say Boston's due because they've been here before too.
Yeah, and they got the new coach.
You don't think
Miami's
going to come in here and put their on the table? Like,
no.
Tonight they do. Tonight's a D on the table game for them.
No, I like what you're saying there. That team that's only had the one day of rest coming off the series, what would you say, 39% in terms of winning percentage?
Yeah,
it doesn't look good for Boston.
The team that
in terms of that
is in a game seven, right? The team that wins a game
coming
seven
off
in the
a
previous
game,
series,
coming off a game seven
their game
previous
one,
series.
They only win 39% of the time.
So the stats say.
So that's 61%.
I like your game one. I like your Miami pick game
one. But everybody's going to think that.
We like that, though. We like that. We like everybody like
you mean, we?
On that Miami. Everybody's on that Miami train today. We like that.
Y'all, the Celtics are not winning today. If the Celtics win today, they're winning the series in five games.
In six.
Five.
As I said.
They will win it in five.
Okay.
But we're going back to – don't know.
Did
done,
you see me next door?
Yeah, I saw, but I want to leave.
But I want to hear you talking about the Heat.
I want to leave you with this.
It's the most boring thing in the NBA.
See, that's the first
John line. Talking about the Heat.
You got to really be a basketball fan.
They're already boring, then you want to talk about
them. You're not a basketball fan, bro. You a fan of Ja.
I'm a fan of the Celtics. I'm a fan of Phoenix. I'm a fan of Luka. I just don't watch
the
Heat.
You a Ja fan, bro. Like, that's just what you just admitted. Like, you're not a fan of the NBA, bro. You just like the Stars.
Very much so. Just not a fan of the Miami Heat.
I'm a fan of good, well-coached basketball teams with Spo. And I want to leave you with this. We're going to see just how strong your powers are once you leave the Grizzlies' orbit.
You're going
to
see.
Put to the test tonight. And then again tomorrow with Warriors and Mavs.
Next story.
Right, now that we've been allowed to move on by John Martin here, our man LeBron James was on Twitter yesterday, had a lot of time on his hands, and he did a Q&A with everyone. How
NBA
about that?
Champion
fun.
With the Miami Heat.
Four-time champion, and that's short. Should have had more, including the one that he lost to Dallas.
Yes.
It's a joke.
Man, you hold grudges like no other.
Well, here's another reason to hold a grudge against LeBron James, who claims that he is a student of the game and of its history.
Mm-hmm.
During this Q&A, among many other things he was asked, was his favorite retired player not in the Hall of Fame. Guess who he said first?
Who'd he say?
Love it. Penny Hardaway.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Guess who he said second and third?
Who?
Grant Hill and T-Mac. They're already in the Hall of Fame. I thought he was a student of the game. A student of...
Now, in his defense, you got to understand what we're dealing with here. We are dealing with a guy that refuses to put LeBron next to Mike.
In his defense, a lot of folks, apparently John didn't know either that T-Mac was in the Hall of Fame.
I had no idea Tracy Gray was a Hall of Famer.
He'd been inducted. LeBron James supposed to know that Grant Hill and T-Mac are Hall of Famers.
Did you know T-Mac was a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
T-Mac was...
That may never...
And forgetting me knowing, LeBron is supposed to know. He knows the history. He always claimed to know the history of the game better than anybody.
T-Mac never won a championship, though, bro.
That man won scoring titles.
Yeah, he won scoring titles, but he never won a championship.
That's why he's in. That's why he's in. It's not about what he did in the playoffs, John.
Well, it shouldn't matter.
And frankly, Penny Hardaway should be in, too.
He was never an MVP.
But so thanks for picking Penny, but your other ones, again, favorite. The question was favorite retired player not in the Hall of Fame. This man named two players that are in the Hall of Fame.
You think
okay,
so,
LeBron?
Okay, but
get it right.
I think,
and then he didn't delete it. Like delete the tweet.
No, he shouldn't delete it.
Yes, he should.
No, he shouldn't
delete it and just put Penny.
T-Mac should not be in the Hall of Fame, and Penny should be.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
To be honest,
we can sacrifice T-Mac to get Penny in there. I'm fine with that.
Why is Penny not in the Hall of Fame? I'm pretty sure
Penny didn't win scoring titles, but Penny was first team All NBA. He was changing the game. You know everything about him in that time when he was at the peak. He should be in.
Yeah, I mean, look, Tracy McGrady was a 7-time NBA All-Star. Penny was a 4-time NBA All-Star. Mm-hmm. T-Mac was a 2-time All-NBA first team. Penny was 2-time All-NBA first team. So, I mean, I feel like their stats are pretty damn close.
I'm with you. Penny should be in the Hall of Fame. But I'm disappointed in LeBron for not knowing that T-Mac and Grant Hill were
there.
Well,
that just seems like a – I mean, again, and Grant Hill, I mean, that's another thing. Like, we
– injury history, long-time injury history.
If Grant Hill is in, Penny should be in, right?
I think Penny should be in, period. I don't need to compare him to others or pull down T-Mac. All three of them should be in there. They were fantastic players. All of them changed the game. Mike Miller, listed as top shooter you ever played with. Now, he says he didn't put him in order, but it's a list that also includes Kyle Korver. James Jones? LeBron said James Jones got him second on the list.
I feel like James Jones never played.
Kyrie Jesus Shuttlesworth, which, of course, is Ray Allen from He Got Game. Channing Frye. Kevin Love and DJ 19.
DJ 19?
Who is DJ 19?
I have no clue. DJ Augustine? I have no idea.
What am I missing there?
Who is DJ 19? Is that Damon? That's not Damon Jones.
Damon Jones
is one of the best shooters he ever played with?
Yeah.
Him and James Jones, that seems questionable.
I think James Jones, you know, is like a dear friend of LeBron's. That's the only explanation I could possibly come up with.
Well, he shouldn't be on a list that's got Mike Miller and Ray Allen on there. Okay. I mean, and again, these are guys he played with, but still. Kyle Korver, okay. Kevin Love, okay.
James Jones never averaged more than 9.3 points a game, and that was his third year in the league.
He said, so what did he shoot? You got it? From three. Was he dead eye in practice?
His career, he was 40% shooter.
Well, that's it. I mean, he has him behind Mike Miller. He's got him high on the list.
Okay, let's go to Miami, right? He never averaged more than 5.9 points a game.
So, but he must have been knocking them down in practice on the scout team.
But they don't count, bro. Right?
No, they don't. That's what I'm saying. So it was curious to see him there, and especially that high on the list right behind Mike Miller.
Ray Allen and Mike both helped win titles. James Jones.
Kyrie hit a shot, helped win titles. Yes. That's fine. Perfect. On the list, you'd expect him to be there.
I mean, it's his opinion, but I just feel like he put too many guys in there. I feel like he tried to include everybody, so that's not a fan. That's what LeBron does.
He might have been on the wine last night. You know that's a possibility, okay?
Yep.
Here's one I'm interested in exploring with you. The question's a great one. If you had to choose one teammate, past or present, in a two-on-two to play two versus two against MJ and Scottie Pippen, who are you choosing? That was asked of LeBron. His answer, he didn't narrow it down. He gave you three. Kobe, KD, or Kyrie. Which one would be best suited with LeBron to knock off Mike and Scottie in a two-on-two?
Of those three?
Of the three that he named, he wouldn't narrow it down to one. Kobe, KD, Kyrie, which one you putting with LeBron if you betting on the two of them to beat Scottie and Mike? Which one's best suited? KD, Kobe, Kyrie.
I guess I got to go KD because just the size, right? I mean, Kyrie, I feel like, is a great shot maker, and he's formatted for that two-on-two game, but he's just too small. Kobe, could rest in peace. I mean, shoot you out of that potentially. I got to go KD. KD's hard to guard in that setting, bro. 2-on-2, damn near unstoppable. I got to go KD.
I mean, Giannis and them just kind of stopped him.
Well, yeah, but that was with the Nets, though. That was with that flawed roster.
And Tatum. Tatum is what I should have said. I said Giannis, but Tatum should have stopped. Yeah. I think about Giannis last year.
Yeah, no.
But Tatum this year put him out and swept them.
A 2-on-2 setting? Give me KD and LeBron.
My answer to this is Kyrie, because I do, as good as it, Dobermans was the word used to describe MJ and Scottie Pippen defensively on those Bulls teams, as good as they were, I don't think either one of them could stay in front of Kyrie.
Well, I mean, probably right? not.
No, but, Kyrie's going to get where he wants to go.
But Kyrie was pretty ass in that series, too. I mean, Kyrie faded pretty fast in that series against the Celtics. He wasn't. He was great in game one.
You put a hole in all of them. My problem would be on the defensive end. Who's Kyrie holding?
Right.
Because
that's why I'm going.
But
with,
I'm going to put him on Scottie, who's just going to want to shoot the bank shot, try to post him up, all that.
Right.
Good chance Scottie's going to miss.
I got to go with
LeBron
KD
on my,
because of his size.
I don't think
size.
There's a wrong answer.
You know, Kyrie would get eaten alive, right? Kyrie would get eaten alive by Michael Jordan.
Mike's not going to be. Kyrie's not going to be on him. I just told you we're going to put Kyrie on Scottie.
Well, then he's going to get eaten up by Scottie.
No. Scottie doesn't have the same post game as Mike.
Okay,
Scottie can have an off day.
Scottie is going
to
be
trying to hide
Kyrie
defensively.
You can't hide in 2-on-2, though. That's the problem.
To the question, because you're going to make everything a fight. What's your favorite movie? His answer, Gladiator or The Godfather. His top five, when asked, were Gladiator, The Godfather, Coming to America, Friday, and Wedding Crashers? Wedding Crashers for LeBron's top five movies.
That's a hell of a list.
It's a pretty good movie. Have
you
seen
Owen Wilson?
Mm-hmm.
That's Owen Wilson.
Owen
right?
Wilson
that's
pretty fun.
And my boy, who's the tall dude? Oh, he's funny as heck. The guy with Jennifer Aniston.
Vince Vaughn?
Yes, Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. Bradley Cooper's in that movie? Yeah, sure.
Funny as heck.
It's random for LeBron.
In that list is just weird. Again, Gladiator, The Godfather, Coming to America Friday, and then Wedding Crashers. And then he was asked, how many more years you got in you, Bron? Here's his answer. The way I feel, I can go on for a minute, to be honest. It's really up to me and my mental staying fresh and sharp. Mm-hmm. I'm still psycho-driven. He reiterated that the plan is to play with Bronny before it's all said and done. Now, I don't know where that's going to happen at. Maybe in Memphis, right?
After
more year the contract runs out, won't have to worry about any trades. You can just sign him up to play with Ja Morant, who John says is going to be able to attract every free agent in the league.
Apparently,
hopefully that can be the case.
The way I hear, because Gary analyzes all these college players and these prospects, I haven't watched a lot of Bronny games, but what Gary has said on his show is that the kid, he may not be like a super high major level talent even.
No, he's not ranked.
Let alone an NBA player.
Yeah, he's not ranked in the top 10 or anything like that.
LeBron going to get him on the team.
So you're getting LeBron, and then you get this schlub. You're getting a schlub kid in there so you can get LeBron on
I mean, he's in control of the Lakers right now. He'll be in control of the next team that he's on.
It's a chip.
Bronny is ranked, which is still, this is like incredible. Like if you just like remove the name, the guy is top 40 in the country.
Okay,
right?
So he's higher than I was thinking.
He's better than Jordan's kids.
He'd be a good player on the Memphis roster on the Tigers.
Yeah, he'd be a great two guard for them in 2023.
But he's not an NBA prospect. Like he's not a lottery.
Oh, he's going to play in the NBA. He will
no,
play
but,
in
like,
the NBA.
Take LeBron. Let's forget it. Let's act like he's not LeBron's kid.
You can make the NBA as a top 40 kid, right? I mean, you're not.
That you would say that they could. You would say it's not as likely.
You're not Jalen Duren.
Top 10 are the guys. I've heard Gary talk about that all the time.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he's not like one of those
dudes.
But
I mean, if you're a top 40 kid, you have a chance. I mean,
you're
probably not a one and done. It's going to take 2 years. You're going to have to produce. You're going to have to show some things. But yeah, you'll have a chance.
So I don't think LeBron's got a lot of time then if that puts him at, you know, that, because that would put him at 42.
So he's going to be a senior, I believe, next year. Right?
2023. That sounds right.
So LeBron's going to have to play 2 years, which he will.
So how old is LeBron's? 37?
He'll have to play 3 years.
He'll play
3 years, right? Because you can't go straight out of high school.
So that body.
How old is he around? 37?
Yeah.
He's
going
to have to play until he's 40?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some franchise will do it. I don't know who it'll be. I doubt it's going to be the Lakers. Feels like that'd be a circus to have LeBron at 40 years old and, you know, I don't know, though. Like, did you watch LeBron this year and think he's slowing down?
Dude, he had MVP caliber season.
Right.
He was awesome this
year.
That's
the thing. It's like he didn't, you know, like Russell Westbrook slowing down, bro. He's really, like, falling off.
Well, he can't shoot anymore.
LeBron is still very much like, LeBron is one of one. I mean, like, he can probably still, I mean, Mike came back with the Wizards at what, 40, right? Was he 40 when he came back?
I think he was younger than that.
Sounds right. I think he was 39-40, though. Mm-hmm. I saw him play at the Wizards.
See, that's what
By
Jason
the way, he
does.
Averaged
Jason,
20 with the damn Wizards.
Oh, Jason was detached from Mike after he left.
I went and saw him in the D.C. when he played for the Wizards. It was fun.
Didn't he play in Memphis with the Wizards?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did you see it? Did you go see it?
Yeah. I remember he had the presser, I want to say, that was so packed. You were at the back of. Everybody was in the room. I want to say that was down at the Pyramid.
2001, yeah. 2003.
Would have been at the Pyramid.
He was 38.
Okay.
He was 38.
Yeah, I told you he was younger than,
right.
I told you he was younger than 40.
I was thinking 40.
But he played 01, 02. I don't know how many seasons that ended up being. But
God,
he was
just seems
38,
like a
39.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
just, to me, it was sad to watch.
Was it? That sad?
Yes. Yes. Because it was just not going to be.
He played two seasons. He played when he was 38 and 39.
Also, a couple seasons
with the Wizards, and he averaged 21 points a game.
Yeah, he was decent.
And he shot 37%. Excuse me, he shot 43% from the field. And well, you know, at 38, 39, that's damn impressive.
Yeah, LeBron's going to do better.
Damn, this
unfortunately, I'm going to have to hand
it to him.
Like LeBron next year, at 38, will put up better numbers than that. And certainly from he's coming off again what could have been an MVP.
Yep.
You know, caliber season.
All right, trivia ready. What what did percentage did Michael Jordan shoot his first season with the Wizards from three?
I mean, I know. Again, I told you said the word detached. Let's go 35.
35%. He shot 19%.
Yikes.
From three.
What had he shot? Did you have his whole career? What did he shot his last year with the Bulls?
His last year with the Bulls, he shot 24% from three.
Go off that list. How bad was it there for?
No, it wasn't.
Surely it did. No, I don't remember it being that awful.
All right, so let's go through it, right? So his career started, he was abysmal from three.
Of course.
Right? But then, like, once the three-point shot started becoming more prevalent, his numbers clearly took off. So in 80,
it's the highest he got.
In 89, 90, 38%, 90, 91, 31%, 27%, 91, 92.
27?
35%, 92, 93. Eh. 90, he took that year off. 94, 95, my man came back shooting 50%. Now, he only played in 17 games, but shot 50% from
three. Yeah, that was 45.
Yeah.
Jordan wearing 45.
95, 96, he shot 43%.
Now, that was coming back to win
the
title.
That was his best full season.
That's when he avenged the loss to Orlando, everything. Yeah. He came back. He was so hungry after losing.
The year after that it was 37, and then it dropped to 24.
Yeesh.
Now, his last year with the Wizards, he did get it back to 29%.
So, what was the career? If you haven't already said it, what is it? So, I can program it in?
33%.
Career 33% shooter from three.
Yep.
LeBron's better than that, is he not?
Oh, gotta be. Everybody's gonna be. In this day and age, you're not gonna find
his last few years, like LeBron's gone way past that.
His skill was that was, and I'm not trying to defend, maybe
33% for his career.
No, I think it's fair.
That was the focus of the skill, right?
No, Dwight Howard's 3-point percentages are probably better than LeBron or than Michael Jordan's, and you know, because it's just more of a
it's a skill focus now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's what you have to do in 2022. You know, guys are we've had this conversation before about Shaq. If Shaq played in 2022, that man would be a death 3-point shooter. He would have no other choice because guess what? They would play his ass off the floor. They would put I don't care how physically dominant he is. They're going to put his ass in the free throw line every time just like they did.
LeBron 34.6.
Wow, it's way closer than it needs to be.
Yeah, it ain't why you sitting over there with a soliloquy.
I would have thought it was at least 36. Yeah. Like
it's the last few years that have brought it up because he started out abysmal too, I want to say.
Yes, he did. He did.
He'll shoot you out of a game now and then, too.
Yeah, he started out 29, 33, 31.9%.
What other truths would you like to know about Michael Jordan while I'm at it, man?
I know of the truths. I told you he was under 40 when he went back to the Wizards, and it wasn't great to watch. It was pretty pedestrian. Although, you'd say, again, 21 for a 38-year-old, pretty good. But LeBron's about to blow it out of the water.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, next year, as long as he stays healthy.
Michael's best year from the field overall was 90-91, where he
first
shot
title year
54%. Bro,
it was the first title year right there.
That man had a better than 50% chance every time he shot the ball. That thing was going in, unless it was, of course, from three. But I'm assuming I don't have the attempts. I'm assuming he probably did not take many threes because he knew he wouldn't make them. So you would just focus on getting to the rim and you know. He was more of a mid-range guy anyway, really, wasn't he?
Yes.
I mean, he was a guy that was going to get to a spot in the mid-range and drill that from the elbow.
It was that post fadeaway that he had in the post.
Ask Craig Elo.
Yeah. Tatum's got a little bit of that to him, right? He can hit that fadeaway.
His guy, but you know who he it's Kobe for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had the relationship with him. That's his guy.
Yep.
Modeled everything after Kobe.
Now,
and Kobe, of course, modeled it after Mike.
The most impressive thing about Tatum when you watch him, and I encourage people to just watch this tonight.
He's just a beast.
His shot does not move.
Huh?
He does. It does not change.
No, the wrist and
his
the whole thing.
His shot form is just like, it's you can't get him off of it.
It's elegant.
You know what I mean? It's Klay Thompson-esque. Like, Klay Thompson, same way, right? Like, when he leaves the floor, it's straight square.
And now he's got the strength. Like, you're not blocking any more dunks. He's going, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's huge.
And you can't speed Jason Tatum's release up either. Yeah. Like, the release is, it's going to take
he's
the same amount of time.
Always under control.
Yeah, no, it's very impressive. And he's, like, only 24, right?
Yes.
Like, it's very impressive what Jason Tatum is doing at such a
young
age.
He's been in the league, like, 5-6 years already.
And
I think it is.
I mean, that's why, ultimately, you know, if you have a son, you know, you try to recreate that with the War Eagles. Am I right? I mean, is that what, sort of what you're chasing?
That's what we're trying to do. I mean,
you know, you know, and all those parents out there jacking for no reason over a damn, you know,
again,
plastic
trophy. Those were the parents from Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's about right.
War Eagles, all we'd come and do is win.
Do they even hoop in Nashville? I didn't even realize they did like competitive in Nashville.
Do they really?
They do now.
Is that a hooping place? Wow.
Some, I mean, some decent.
You went in there and cooked them, didn't
you? I thought
that
was a football place.
Y'all don't think Nashville claims James Wiseman? They do.
Yeah, I don't even.
He had to come to Memphis to East to get it going, though.
There's another Nashville guy that's right at the top.
Garland.
It's Darius.
Darius Garland.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what are you trying to say? Nashville, some mecca now?
They're not a mecca, but it's come on. They've been more, along with the rest of the state, they've been more football prospect producing.
That's what
I think. They've now got some decent level basketball over there. They're producing prospects every year.
Yeah. It's going to be for me.
Isn't Tatum from St. Louis?
St. Louis. He just came down.
Tatum's from St. Louis. Bradley Beal's from St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis ain't bad.
Yeah, his stepfather's from a guy that would help with Markelle Crawford, too.
Yeah.
They married Jason's mom. And we're friends with his father, Justin.
Yeah,
friend of the show. We've had him on the show.
Yeah, we had him on the show. He was great. He came on the show, and this was before Tatum was quite, you know, the star.
But those folks would bring him down every summer to play AAU in Memphis,
right?
Because why? Because that's where you're going to get better
competition.
Yeah. Yes, brother. And maybe you'll see a parent fight every now and then because they don't know how to handle a dynasty like the War Eagles.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess you're going to ruffle some feathers along the way to gold, aren't you?
You saw it.
But y'all didn't even win.
Yes, we did.
Y'all
were the champs.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
On paper, our big team won.
Okay.
We have two first grade teams. And we have an A team, B team. Chris is on a B team.
Did Chris get to hold it?
The trophy?
Yeah.
It gets passed among the players. They all get a chance to take it home over the next couple of weeks.
It's like the Stanley Cup.
It's awesome.
No wonder the parents are out of control, man. Y'all act like this is a damn Stanley Cup.
See, no, that's what. Remember you had that whole soliloquy about fun and doing. That's what it looks like, fool. I can't help what Nashville parents are saying and doing these days.
Yeah.
Cursing at people and kids.
Yeah, well, I would be very, man, we live
again,
in
they were frustrated, been beaten twice by the War Eagles.
Yeah. But, dude, we live in like a crazy world, man. You know,
that's the least of our concerns, dude. Cursing parents from Nashville.
Well,
but you seen what's out here? I mean, we could make this real serious if you want to.
No,
that's the least of our concerns.
It is. It certainly is. But I mean, damn. You know, let's just generally try to do better, right?
Just be a War Eagle
and try to be
life will be good.
Try to be better with your picks in the NBA.
I've been pretty good, buddy.
Just try to be better. All right, we will come back. Jeff Cogg is going to join us at 1:25. We're going to do some Cogg Talk. That is what we do. We'll get his thoughts on the conference final series.
That's whose picks matter.
Guy's on an unbelievable roll.
He's a picker.
He is. He's certainly that. He'll join us at 1:25. Jason and John, 90.9 FM. Yes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Welcome to the party. Hit 'em up, huh? Get 'em up, huh?
Let's talk about fairness in the workplace and getting paid for the work you do. If you're not receiving overtime pay, if you're having to attend required meetings without pay, if you're having to work through lunch breaks, if you're a restaurant worker that's receiving server pay to clean or stock supplies, you are entitled to minimum wage and, in many cases, overtime pay.
If you're having similar issues with your employer, we got the folks you should call. They're our friends, Robert, Rob, and Russ at Grind City Law. That number, 901-756-5997. They've recovered literally millions of dollars in unpaid wages for workers. Team at Grind City Law, they're advocates. They've spent their entire careers fighting for workers' rights. You may not even know you have a case. That's why you need to contact them today for a free consultation. No harm in reaching out, right? You could be losing thousands of dollars that you should be getting back. They're a Memphis-based law firm grinding for workers' rights nationwide. Again, find them at grindcitylaw.com or at 756-5997.
All right, so we sort of were touching on this last week, you know, with the news about the Liberty Bowl riot and how significant that's going to be for Memphis football. And we did touch on, concerts. And like, could this mean, right, that Memphis becomes a little bit more of a destination for those, you know, big-time acts? Because, look, in the end, FedEx Forum can only hold 18,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 20,000 if you do some reconfiguration, right? But if you tell these big time acts, whether it's Taylor Swift or whether it's Beyonce or whether it's do the Rolling Stones still tour? I don't know, like somebody like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh well, we got 65,000 that you could sell. Now whether or not they do it, I don't know.
Did Elton John sell that thing out?
Elton John, yeah, I bet Elton John can sell out.
Oh, but hadn't he been on his last tour? Maybe
yeah,
it's over.
So.
I don't know.
I think so.
I just not know you. Watch
I don't think
crazy.
There are a ton of acts to the point that would be able to like reasonably put 30 to 40,000 people in the Liberty Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Probably only on one hand could you count. Taylor Swift would be one. Would she ever play Memphis? I don't know. But, you know, that was one of the things that Jim Strickland was talking about, is that, you know, the current configuration of the Liberty Bowl is out of sync with current concerts. And that, you know, when you redo it and you put all this money into it, the idea would be, yes, to bring those people that otherwise would not consider coming here.
Yeah,
coming
yeah.
here.
So no reason Nashville should be getting all of them.
The last concert held at the Liberty Bowl, some fun trivia, was May 14th, 1997.
Who would that have been?
Who would that have been?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.